anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
The first time President Obama was elected, there was a lot of grumbling in the American wine world when it was learned that the new commander-in-chief had chosen wines not of this country to serve at the inauguration. This time around, political sensitivity and good taste prevailed as wines from the Empire State were given the honor, along with something bubbly from the left coast. Meet the winemakers responsible for the Finger Lakes Riesling that made the grade and made New York proud. Today's show features David Whiting, owner and winemaker at Red Newt Cellars, and Scott Osborne of Fox Run Vineyards. We'll also check in with gadget guru Matt Dubow of Epic Style to find out if the administration's good taste goes beyond the chosen wines. You'll also learn why the inauguration stirred up a little fuss in France over semantic sensitivities.
Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, featuring the world's most incredible selection of accessories and innovations for wine lovers.
And now, it's time to experience wine in a totally different way with your host, David Wilson.
And before we get to our guests, we'll share a little wisdom that might surprise you, including the latest research on the power of perception, the surprising difference in calories between sweet and dry wine, and something you may not know about letting white wine breathe, or suffocate, as the case may be. We start today's show with a little lesson in the power of perception, particularly as it relates to the enjoyment you get from a good, or maybe not so good, glass of wine. Do you love the finer things in life? Do you consider yourself to be a person with exceptionally good taste? Well, when it comes to wine, it could be that you're simply label conscious. So don't be so quick to judge. Most people appreciate the fact that there's a difference between cheap, mass-produced wines and pricey, handcrafted wines. And while there's no disputing the fact that the difference between the two can be night and day, it turns out that for many, expectation may have a lot to do with our perception. In a Caltech experiment, five different wines with a wide range of prices were the subject of a most revealing study. The wines ranged in price from $5 to $90. Anyway, those clever researchers deviously switched things up by putting expensive wine in the cheap wine bottles and cheap wine in the expensive bottles. Then they hooked subjects up to a brain scanner. While tasting the wine, the same parts of the brain would light up the scanner, regardless of the wine consumed. However, when the tasting subjects thought they were sampling an expensive wine, a particular part of the brain would become very active. Many studies have confirmed the notion that when we believe something is exceptional, we're inclined to judge it more positively. The moral of the story? Well, when it comes to wine, you may not want to overthink it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the phrase, "Let's let this breathe a bit." And in far too many instances, the person making that recommendation simply sets the open bottle of wine off to the side and waits several minutes to pour it, which only affects the wine in the neck of the bottle and little else. Pouring the wine into a decanter, using a number of aeration devices, or simply swirling the wine in your glass will do more for the wine than simply popping the cork and waiting patiently for a miracle. But when it comes to white wine, there's no need to fuss. Because red wines stay on their skins for a prolonged period of time, they develop what we call tannins. Tannins are an ingredient in red wine that makes you pucker when you drink wine and gives your tongue a dry, powdery sensation. When you decant, swirl, or aerate wine, it softens those tannins and improves the flavor and experience. White wines, on the other hand, are good to go, and we chill them to actually slow down the effects of exposure to air. Simple enough to remember, but to err is human.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
When Barack Obama was sworn in for his second term in office as the 44th American president, he was toasted with a special inaugural cuvée from California, Gorbel Russian River Valley Natural Champagne, served with Hudson apple pie, sour cream ice cream, aged cheese, and honey. Unfortunately, the celebration wasn't the best thing for foreign relations, particularly with the French. It wasn't because France's finest was absent from the menu, but rather because the use of the term champagne to describe a California cuvée is considered to be a violation of geographical protection laws. The French are unbending in their contention that champagne can only come from the region of the same name in France, and describing any bubbly made outside of that region is inexcusable. Back in 2006, the U.S. and the European Union signed an agreement that any terms suggesting a geographical region, such as champagne or port, could no longer be used as generic descriptions. The pact did, however, allow those who were using the terms prior to 2006 to continue doing so. And Korbel is one of those producers that qualified. Accordingly, serving American champagne at the inauguration was technically A-OK. The French are, nonetheless, fried.
Feels good to tell the truth. No, I'm lying again. It feels bad.
I talked about the French objecting to California champagne being served at last week's inauguration on the grounds that champagne is not a generic term, but rather describes a product made in a particular French region in a very particular manner. Now, while the French were tweaked, New Yorkers were stoked.
Live from New York, it's New York City.
Do you know anyone in New York?
New York, here we come!
I will see you in New York.
Whoa. Why would you want to go to New York?
Because a variety of their local wines were served at inaugural events. A Merlot from Long Island's Bedell Cellars was chosen to be served at the presidential luncheon. Other New York wines included the best of the Finger Lakes region, such as the 2010 Tierce Dry Riesling. Of course, from the West Coast, there was, among other things, California champagne. Oops, can I say that? It was a giant step towards celebrating all things American, and what a difference a term of 4 years makes. When President Obama was first elected, there was a lot of grumbling in the American wine world because a South African wine was featured at the inauguration. Many considered that to be a faux pas of the highest order. This time around, the focus was on America, giving everyone a lot more to celebrate. That is, of course, unless you're French.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like fun. Let's go!
I have to admit that I was shocked when I first learned the truth about wine and calories. While I have often been quick to defend wine to dieters by comparing the calories in a half a bottle of red wine to a granola bar, there are some things I should share with you beyond that revelation. If you're like most people, you probably think sweet wine must be higher in calories, but you'd be wrong. The highest calorie wines tend to be those with the highest alcohol content. Alcohol has 7 calories per gram versus carbohydrates or sugars, which have only 4 calories per gram. Sweet wines, with some exceptions, are significantly lower in alcohol, which means many sweet wines have fewer calories than many dry wines. A dry, high-alcohol wine has a similar amount of calories, while a glass of sweet wine may have as few as 110. Now, I said there are exceptions, like champagnes and sparkling wines which have added sugar and alcohol. The added amount is called le dosage, and it's added during the champagne-making process. Champagne contains as much as 175 calories per 5-ounce glass. A dry, high-alcohol wine has a similar amount of calories, while a glass of sweet wine may have as few as 110. So if you're going to toast to your diet, you may want to do it with white Zinfandel. Did I really say that?
You're a winner!
Grape Encounters Radio is proud to recommend the absolutely amazing products for wine, beer, and spirit lovers at epicstyle.com. You hear me talk about epicstyle.com every week, but if you haven't visited them online, now is the time. I could spend hours checking out all the amazing accessories, gadgets, and goodies waiting to tempt you. Wait, I do spend hours at epicstyle.com. Come for a visit, but plan to stay a while. When we return, we'll take you to the Finger Lakes wine country, where they're still celebrating. This is David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio. I want to tell you about an event that's coming up in April that will pair wine with one of the greatest adventures you'll ever experience. I'm going to invite you today to join me for the cruise of a lifetime as we sail from Venice, Italy to Istanbul. It's 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas, beginning April 14th and continuing on through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. This is an adventure that can't be topped and you won't want to miss. It begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night stay in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus a whole lot more. explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. Now, aboard the ship, we're going to have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests, so the ship is definitely going to sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, you can call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540, or you can visit grapeencounters.com and click on the ad there. I really, really hope you'll join me on the Adriatic and Aegean escape of a lifetime. It's a grape encounter you'll never forget.
Money may not buy happiness, but it will buy you some very good wine. And if that doesn't make you happy, you need to be listening to a self-help show, not Grape Encounters Radio.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we've built a very special kind of cellar. It's where we keep our best years on hand for your enjoyment. Each week, David Wilson picks, stomps, ferments, and bottles conversation about your favorite beverage, and he does it with the most interesting people in and around the business of wine. The topics, the history, the perspective, it's unlike anything else you'll find. Nearly 200 episodes of Grape Encounters at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Pursue your twin passions of wine and travel on board the most breathtaking cruise ship you'll ever experience. Join Grape Encounters host David Wilson for 10 days of luxurious leisure and adventure, April 14th through 24th, aboard the all-suite Seven Seas Mariner. Cruise the Adriatic and Aegean Seas from romantic Venice to Istanbul. 10 days of gourmet dining, cocktail parties, fine wine, and premium spirits. Unlimited free shore excursions to explore Montenegro, Athens, Rhodes, exotic Istanbul, and other ports of call. On board, indulge your passion for fine wine and fine food with private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, plus fun, fascinating talks by wine aficionado David Wilson. Cabins are going fast on the Seven Seas Mariner, an all-suite luxury cruise ship. Not surprisingly, only a few cabins remain, so don't put it off. Get a quote for this ultimate celebration of food and travel. Call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that EpicStyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to EpicStyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. EpicStyle.com. We're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and in the last segment, we were talking about the fact some New York wines had the honor of being served at inauguration events. One California wine, we're calling it a sparkling wine, because even though it was labeled champagne, the French got all uptight about that. But that's a story for another time. I am so pleased to have one of the folks whose wine, actually it was a collaboration, was served at the luncheon of the inauguration on the line from Red Newt Cellars in the Finger Lakes region of New York. It's David Whiting. David, thanks for joining us.
Why, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Are you floating on cloud nine? I mean, talk about one of the ultimate honors if you're in the wine business. I mean, so many wines to choose from. How did this happen?
It certainly is an honor, and it's really a thrill to think about the wine that we produced being there at the inauguration. But the way it happened is Charles Schumer, who is the head of the committee which determines a lot of the details of the inauguration, tasked with finding wines and food, and he felt that it would be great to represent some of the grape products from New York State. So on the menu, there are a number of foods that come from New York State and some wines as well.
So let's talk about the Tierce Riesling for a second. It's not just your wine, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort between Red Newt, Fox Run, and Anthony Road Wineries here in the Finger Lakes. Respective winemakers, Johannes Reinhardt and Peter Bell. Starting back in 2004, we started sharing a lot of ideas and information and tasting together, particularly around the topic of Riesling, because we're all very passionate about it. In that process, that first year, Johannes looked at us both and said, you know, guys, why don't we make a wine together? Wow, that would be fun. So we did. In 2004, we produced a small quantity of the Tierce. Been a very educational for us, a lot of fun.
Now tell me what that means when you say making it together. Does that mean you combine grapes that each of you have grown, that you're all in on the actual winemaking process? How far does it go? How deep do you go?
The way that each of our production generally goes is we all work with multiple plantings or vineyards, in some case different growers of Riesling. So by the time we get around to this point in the year, January or so, each one of us is likely to have between 8 and say 20 different lots of Riesling, different growers, different sites, a lot of variability. At that point in time, when we sit down at the table, we taste through all of our wines. That's the educational part. And then we pick out, we start strategizing how, from this huge palette of Riesling, how to assemble the Riesling that we feel best represents
right,
not only our individual styles, but a regional style and the vintage.
Is this actually a blend that we wind up with, or is there some co-fermentation that goes on?
It ends up being a blend of individual lots post-fermentation.
So you're sitting around and you've got a lot to taste, right?
Oh, yes.
Does that mean that the Tierce Riesling is different every year? We start from scratch?
We do start from scratch. In fact, the very first year, we had a lot of discussion and a lot of tasting around what style of wine this would be. And the 2004 ended up being this very kind of lean, electric-focused style of Riesling. And it was great. The second year, we said, well, there's nothing to say that we should make it the same as the 2004. After all, we're just trying to create something from scratch every year. And as it turns out, every year, starting from with no preconceptions, the wine ends up being a pretty similar style. So that says to us that this is a style that really works with the fruit.
Well, I think it's almost like movie making, too. You know, a film producer doesn't make the same movie over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
Although he might make sequels that have some similarities between one film and the other. So You don't make a lot of this, right?
No, it's a small quantity, usually around 200 cases.
Now, there's been a considerable amount of publicity about this wine being served at the inauguration. Is it gone?
Just about gone. You know, the way we work it is each year we make that 200 cases, and then we simply split it between the three wineries.
Had you known that this wine was going to be chosen for the presidential inauguration, would you have made more?
We might have done so, but that was a couple of years ago.
I would think now that you've had this honor that in future years, there's going to be a lot of attention called to this particular wine. Are you getting calls already on it? People saying, hey, how do I get a bottle of that or a case of that?
Yeah, we are. In fact, when this news came out between the three wineries, we probably had 50 or 100 cases, not a lot. And I think a lot of that is gone now. A fair supply here for our own restaurant at the winery, so it'll be on the wine list here. But beyond that, it's pretty much evaporated.
You can actually ship your wines out to California, can't you?
We certainly can.
Yeah, restrictions have lightened up quite a bit, haven't they, in the past couple of years?
It's gotten better, but it's still quite a tangled web to track of and comply with the regulations in each state that we ship to, because they're all different.
I have to say, as a native Californian, and I certainly know that when you travel the country, it's pretty easy to find California wines because we make so dad-blasted much of it. I'm glad to see wines from other states like New York infiltrating, you know, other markets now in a much bigger way. Is that exciting for you?
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, we're still a fairly small winery. We only produce about 15,000 cases a year.
Right.
We're starting to edge out into some, mostly states in the Northeast, so about a dozen states now. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, I certainly think that Finger Lakes region has been getting a lot of attention lately. And certainly as a place, if you want to go spend some time wine tasting, it's just a great place to go. And you can spend an extended period of time there. And it's an alternative to the usual suspects, right?
It's not just the wineries. I've been making wine here for about 25 years. What's been happening in the past 5 or 10 years, both on the wine side, but also on the sort of the tourism side, the accommodations, the culinary scene, the sort of the locavore movement, and boy, the agricultural scene, small-scale organic agriculture, and the cheese scene here is just fantastic.
You're making me hungry, I'll tell you that. Tell me in the last minute that we have, how did you find out that you'd been selected for this great honor in Washington? Who did you call?
I got a call from one of Senator Schumer's aides and said, we're having an announcement like the day after tomorrow in Rochester. You can be there, can't you? And I said, why, sure. And they said, well, don't tell anybody because it's Senator Schumer's news.
So they didn't actually tell you that you had been selected, but you got the idea.
Yeah. And okay, I'll be there. And it was sort of a small affair, lots of, you know, a number of press and cameras and whatnot. But it was really exciting. And it's, you know, I'm really thankful to Senator Schumer. He's, again, shown great support of New York State agriculture, a real ally for us in Washington.
Fantastic story. A great honor as well. So David Whiting at Red Newt Cellars, you can find their wines online. It's rednewt.com.
That's correct.
David, I so appreciate you being on the show. We're going to continue with our visit with the folks who made the cut for the presidential inauguration when we return with Grape Encounters Radio.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Paul Cullen is an amazing musician who makes truly amazing wines. Paul is the former bass player of the legendary band Bad Company. But today he's an amazing pioneer in the creation of very special music written and produced to complement his equally special wines. Unplugged and Uncorked is Paul's answer to everyone who believes that music and wine are inseparable. Paul's wines are a celebration of life. From his luscious red Sonata Rosso to the purely irresistible Sonata Rosé to the wildly wonderful Sonata Bianco. Paul Cullen's wines are pure pleasure, paired with his music or yours, savored with your favorite meal, or simply sipped on a porch swing. If you want to know more about Paul Cullen's wine and music, simply visit paulcullen.net. You can learn all about Paul's ambitious Unplugged and Uncorked project, buy wine, music, and even download some of Paul's most decadent recipes. Go ahead, live large. Visit paulcullen.net today. And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here, and glad to have another guest from the Finger Lakes region of New York. Talked a little while ago to David Whiting over at the Red Newt Cellars. Of course, we were talking about that Tierce Riesling, which is a collaborative effort. And one of the people in on that collaboration, Scott Osborne, owner, Fox Run Vineyards, not too far away.
Well, as the crow flies, though, but he's on one side of the lake and we're on the other. So if you had to go down the lake, it's like 35 miles. But
and you wouldn't be swimming this time of year either.
No. Although there's water, it's just really cold.
Tell me how cold it is right now.
We just hit 10 degrees.
Out here in sunny Southern California, it's in the mid-70s. Not trying to make you feel bad, but I'll tell you what, you're making a lot of California winemakers feel bad this week.
Oh, that's really?
No doubt about it, with the honor of having your wine at the presidential inauguration.
Incredible honor. We're just incredibly proud, not only of Fox Run and our winemaker and Dave and Johannes and Anthony Rode, and we're just so proud of the Finger Lakes, you know, that we've been able to represent our area.
Tell me this, the Finger Lakes have been getting a lot of publicity lately. Not that they haven't, but it seems like you're definitely coming unto your own at this point in time. A lot of people making recommendations about the Finger Lakes being a great place to travel to. We hear a lot about it over here on the left coast, and a lot more than we used to. And I know you come up in, you know, a lot of recommendations of great wine countries that you don't want to miss. Has it changed a lot in the past couple of years?
I came here in 93 is when I bought Fox Run, and there were 14 wineries on Sonic Lake, and, you know, there's a number of us were doing, you know, real good work, but there was very few of us. Now, There's 70 wineries on Seneca Lake alone. 30 of them have probably opened up in the last, you know, 6 or 8 years. There are a lot of people who are doing really good work with Riesling and Cabernet Franc, probably the two big varieties. A lot of good work is being done with Chardonnay, too. It's changed a lot. It's getting real exciting. Starting to see a lot of people from all over the world.
Now, I believe your career, your life really started in politics, right? International politics.
I went to a college that had campuses all around the world, and that was sort of my major. And I got out of college. I ended up out in California, up in Lake County, selling real estate. So back in 1980, the interest rates got to 22%. Well, people don't buy ranches and resorts, so that's how I got into the wine business.
I remember that well. Now, were you able to visit a lot of the wineries in Northern California at that time? Now, Lake County, of course, making a lot of great wine now. How was it in those days?
Well, there was a few wines. I think there was probably 6 or 8 wineries. I started at Conocti Winery, hand-labeling bottles of wine for them. Then went down to Firestone Winery down in Santa Barbara, worked there for a year and a half, 2 years, and then over to Zaca Mesa. And then,
yeah, Brooks Firestone is a good friend of the show.
Oh, is he really? I remember Brooks. When I was at Firestone, he decided to run for office.
Yeah, well, he comes from a very political family, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting how many people have a little political background, but retreat to the world of wine. Actually, it's not a retreat. It's step up, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What made you decide to go in that direction? You just found that more interesting than a potential political career?
Oh, it's a lot more interesting. The people involved in the wine industry are probably the most interesting people that I've run into. They come from all walks of life, from all over the world, and you really can just about go to any country in the world and go visit a winery, and that's fascinating to me. And there's an immediate connection between when you walk in the door and you start talking to the owner or the winemaker or the people just behind the counter. There's just an immediate bond.
You know what's interesting about it is that if there's one thing that I've learned in the years of doing this show, there is a certain pretentiousness that's associated with wine, but it's not coming from the winemakers and the winery owners, is it? I mean, they tend to be some of the least pretentious people I've ever met because they've got dirt under their fingernails and they appreciate the hard work and humbleness that goes into making a bottle of wine.
You're so right. We talk about, when you meet up with people from other wineries, you start sharing your wines and you talk about them. You talk about what's good, what's bad. You just talk about them and you sit down. In many cases, you're sitting down over dinner and sharing wines with, great wines with great food, and you're bonding. A wonderful experience.
I love there's a quote from the legendary winemaker Michael Gergich. Michael says, drink wine, not water, because water separates continents, but wine brings people together.
He's so right with that.
Yeah, definitely. So people sat down and enjoyed Tierce Riesling at the inauguration. I guess it was at the luncheon that they served that. What else was served from your region?
Some honey that was served on one of the dishes from an organic beekeeper up in Rochester, near Rochester. Another wine that was from Long Island, from Bedell, a Merlot that was served also. They got a good cross-section of New York. There was some apple stuff coming out of the Hudson Valley.
How excited were you when you found out that your wine had been chosen? Was that just an off-the-chart sensation?
It's almost indescribable in words. One, it made me proud, and I was proud for my winemakers and for my neighbors. The hard thing was is we had to keep it secret.
Yeah.
Because we knew about it for a long time.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell my winemakers. I couldn't tell anybody.
Really?
That was so hard.
Would they have booted you off the menu if you had broken the silence?
I have no idea. They just didn't want it let out until everything was finalized with all the foods and the menus and, all of that kind of stuff. And so they wanted to keep a secret. And the only way you can keep a secret is just not tell anybody. And that is really hard to do.
Yeah, I imagine. When did you finally get a chance to tell them?
About 3 days before the announcement.
Oh, no kidding. And when was that?
That was probably 2 weeks 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Well, did anything get uncorked for that announcement?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Senator Schumer flew up into Rochester and made an announcement at one of the larger wine shops, and Century Liquors there, and we all opened the wine and toasted it. It was great. We had a great time, and the lady who was the honey person had her honey there, and everybody got to taste the honey, and it was really kind of neat.
Wonderful story. We're talking to Scott Osborne, the owner of Fox Run Vineyards, who is one of the collaborators on the Tierce Riesling that was served at the inauguration. An incredible honor. And of course, this broadcast emanates from California. California had they actually called it a champagne, but the French were not all that happy about us doing that. But anyway, what are they going to do about that? So there was that from California, but the big story was wines from New York, not just from the Finger Lakes region, but also from Long Island, and a lot of excitement surrounding that. It was nice to see, Scott, how much press that got. I think a lot of people were, you know, it was kind of a warm fuzzy for New York.
And we're blown away by all the people who are ordering the wines now.
Well, of course, yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, and they're still coming in. You know, we've had to limit it now down to 3 bottles per person because it's just, you know, we want as many people as possible to have some. But we'll probably be out of it within the next 2 or 3 days. And I don't know how much Dave has left or John Martini over at Anthony Road have left. But I know we're all getting down to...
Could you come close to replicating that wine again, do you think?
Well, without a doubt. We've been making this wine since 2004, and we really hit our groove in about 2008. And in 2008, 2009, 2010 vintages were all spectacular wines, and the 2011 will be the equal. It's without a doubt. You know, one of the great things about the Finger Lakes is this is like the most perfect place in the world to grow Riesling. You know, and when you have talented winemakers like Peter and Johannes and Dave working on a project like this, it's nearly impossible not to turn out as good as last year's.
Yeah, wonderful. I want to turn to the dark side for just a second, because I'd heard a story or two that some people were complaining and making this whole affair political by saying that they weren't going to buy wines because you participated. I'm not saying you particularly, but winemakers participated in the inauguration. And of course, anybody making that complaint on the other side of the aisle, presumably, do you hate hearing that sort of thing? And did you get much of that?
I can't believe some of the emails that we've gotten, you know.
Really?
And to me, it's people who don't understand the process. You know, this is about a transition of power, whether it's a president going into a second term or a new president coming in. It doesn't matter what your party is. This is what makes America great: is the fact that we don't have coups. You know, they're not assassinated. They're not. You know, and these people are elected by the people. Majority of the people chose this man as president. And to have people, you know, boycott me and my products because, you know, my wine was served at a luncheon during the inauguration is incomprehensible to me.
I'd have to say go ahead and boycott it, because there, for every person who does that, there's 1,000 who would love to have a taste of that wine, because it's a part of American history. Period.
Oh, I agree, and I it's just sad that people don't understand, you know, what the democratic process is in this country, and how important the transition of power is peacefully, you know, and that our votes have, you know, help that, whether you win or lose, it's a wonderful thing to have happen. And it's a huge honor for us as winemakers here in the Finger Lakes too.
I think the exciting thing about it is that the wine really makes a greater statement than just being a great wine coming from the Finger Lakes, it's a collaborative effort. It's three entities coming together, cooperating, you know, putting their best foot forward, you know, sharing some brain power and talent to create something that no one could do on their own. And isn't that what America's all about?
It is. And it's interesting that these three men, when they decided that they wanted to make something better than each one of them felt that they could do on their own, and this is what they've done. And you're right. You can only do that in collaboration.
Now, if we could only get Congress to do the same thing. Scott Osborne, the owner of Fox Run Vineyards, a big congratulations from Grape Encounters Radio, and I wish you all the best. I thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime. I'm going to check back with you and see how quick those wines disappeared and how many people are banging your door down to get more of it.
Hey, thank you, David. It's great talking with you, and I do hope we do talk some more.
Oh, we definitely will. We're going to take Grape Encounters up to the Finger Lakes sometime very soon. I'm not sure when, but when we do, you'll definitely be on our itinerary. So I appreciate it, Scott. Take care. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, and joining us, the gadget guru who claims he had products at the inauguration. That next.
Money may not buy happiness, but it will buy you some very good wine. And if that doesn't make you happy, you need to be listening to a self-help show, not Grape Encounters Radio.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
That first delightful sip of a fine wine brings so much pleasure. But there's a lot more enjoyment to wine than just the wine. It's the fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining you'll find at epicstyle.com. Even those corks you've been tossing become part of your home's decor with simply beautiful wine bottle cork cages. You've got to see them at epicstyle.com. Wine and hors d'oeuvres won't inadvertently become props in a juggling act when your guests have amazing buffet plates that securely hold both food and your wine glass using just one hand. See how it works at epicstyle.com. And if champagne weren't enough fun in itself, your guests will get a real kick out of the one-of-a-kind top hat ice bucket or delightfully decorated champagne flutes. epicstyle.com. It's where you'll find creative and useful wine accessories and all you need for entertaining in all price ranges, even a huge assortment for under $25. Once you visit epicstyle.com, you'll never entertain without it. epicstyle.com. Fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining.
As a Grape Encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
We're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and now talking to somebody that I absolutely know must have been represented at the presidential inauguration, but we just didn't read about it for some reason, and I'm a little torqued about it. I'm sure he should be torqued about it, too. It's Matt Dubow, the gadget guru from epicstyle.com. Matt, we've been talking to the winemakers who had wines at the presidential inauguration. They had to open those wine bottles, Matt. And I'm thinking they had no place to go except Epic Style, because you know that they would want to do that in style, in presidential style. What alternative would they have?
They wouldn't have any.
Did they call you?
Well, I don't want to brag or anything, but we were at the Capitol. They used our American Spirits collection to open the the wine bottles, which, of course, is our red, white, and blue collection.
I knew it. Did they use an electric cork remover, or did they do it the good old-fashioned manual way?
Well, they went old school.
They did go old school, yeah.
They did go old school. They also put the bottle stoppers with the red, white, and blue, just to make sure it was all in theme, which was very nice of them.
I don't think that they had any screw cap wines there, but I'm not entirely sure of that. I mean, you have all the accessories that would be necessary, and you would think that the White House would certainly be all over making sure that they had the proper implements, wine enjoyment, at their side, at their disposal for this big event.
Well, they did, and I don't really want to go off the wine grid too much, but it was cold out there. I don't know if you noticed that the president went into his side coat and he pulled out a flask, the little nip.
Did he?
He did.
Do you sell flasks?
Yes, we do.
Was it one of yours? Did it look like one of yours?
It was. I believe it said Epic Style all over it.
Really?
So, it was a good moment for us. And then, you know, at the ball, they, of course, had our koozies, or Epic Cools, I should say, for the people that wanted beer, or they also had the wine wrapped in the Epic Cools. So we did represent.
Wow. That must be incredibly exciting for you.
It was. You know, we didn't get a whole lot of press on it, so it's nice that you and I can talk about it.
They always want to talk about the wine, and of course, we've talked about the wine. I was so proud to have those winemakers on the show today. It's like an all-American show. But do you remember, Matt, last election when they had the inauguration and the president served South African wines? And people were like really bent out of shape because, you know, nothing wrong with South African wines, but it's an American inauguration. Why would you do that?
They shouldn't. They should be serving American wines. There's so many good wines that are made here. And I'm sure you knew this, but every state in the union has a winery.
See, I think what they need to do is have the greatest wine tasting in American history to coincide with the inauguration, where the people get to taste a wine from every state in the union.
So how do we set that up?
Well, I don't know. You know, it also makes me wonder, you know, how carefully they check the wine, because they're serving this wine to all these dignitaries, and you'd think that they would have like some sort of official taster to make sure that, you know, nobody has pulled any fast ones there.
I didn't get the call to help.
Well, no, because you're too important. They're not gonna take the risk of losing the gadget guru. Where would it, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of wines now, literally out there. They've gotta be. Those have all gotta be open. They've all gotta be presented in certain ways. So many of them need to be decanted, preserved, whatever. I'm surprised you don't have a Secret Service contingency. You're not. You do.
I really can't talk about that.
Ah, okay.
Thank you very much for blowing it for me.
Now that I think about it, when I have walked into the Epic Products and Epic Style building there, your headquarter building, and after I go through the metal detector and all that stuff, but usually it's on the way out, by the way.
Well, we have caught you a few times with some products.
It's a corkscrew, Matt. But anyway, no, but you see all those guys standing around with the tubes in their ears. And I just thought that was, they were testing some new wine gadget that allows you to not just experience wine in a tactile and in a tasting sort of way, but also you could hear it.
It's something we're working on.
It's all of the senses included in the entire wine tasting experience. But anyway, no, I was very glad, very pleased that they served American wines. They served an American, get this, a California champagne. We talked about it earlier on the show. That was a big blow to foreign relations with the French, who said, no, you will not. Oops, that's a German, isn't it? Well, he was a French guy raised in Germany. But anyway, they said, no, you cannot serve a sparkling wine from California and call it champagne. But as I mentioned earlier, it was Korbel, and they got in under the wire because when that agreement was signed into effect between the United States and the European Union, anybody that was calling champagne-type beverages champagne were allowed to continue to do that. Grandfathered in, if you will.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
I'm definitely okay with that.
I don't know. I think
I don't have a problem with it.
I think Californians ought to say, you know what, they should come up with their own name for that kind of beverage, and that, you know, Method Californie or so, you know, whatever it is, and then they should refuse the French the opportunity to use our names.
If they're not going to use California wines elections, why should we ever use their champagne?
Well, absolutely true. But anyway, lucky for Korabel, they got to do it. They got to call it champagne. The French grumbled about it. But all in all, a very American inauguration this time around. Have you had some of those New York wines, by the way?
I have had a few tastes.
And especially, you know, some of those white wines are just, to me, so delicious. I mean, they make some good reds there, too. If you buy a Cabernet in upstate New York or Finger Lakes or from New Jersey, it's going to taste different than a California cab. And, you know, it's not about better or worse. It's about different.
Right.
A completely different style. But I love, for instance, their ice wines and their Rieslings. They're just absolutely delicious. And really worth trying. And you can, if you're in any other part of the country, you can get those wines now. You know, most places you can get them.
Yeah.
So the restrictions are slowly evaporating in this country, and it's easier to get wines from other parts of America and really worth trying them, don't you think?
I agree. And I am definitely somebody that likes to try different wines from different regions because that's me, and I like to be adventurous and go outside my comfort zone.
Matt, I appreciate it. I'm sorry that you didn't get a chance to actually physically attend the inauguration. I know that you're being considered for at least one or two cabinet positions.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Hopefully they will consider me.
Most welcome. You'd never do it because you love what you do too much. Check out all of the thousands of products that Matt has for you at epicstyle.com. If it's good enough for the White House, it's good enough for you. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. And Matt, we'll see you next week, huh?
Yes.
Okay, real good. And at that time, I'll want to know how you like that Mongolian Merlot.
I'll let you know.
All right, catch you later. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters this week. We'll see you all next week. Same time, same channel.
These United States are confronted with an economic affliction of great proportions.
Have we reached the goal of our vision? Have we found our happy valley?
Let us call a truce to terror. And we shall be remembered as part of the generation that met its vows.